that you will, Dave will hear your words this morning, Father, that he will only speak what he hears you say. Yeah. Yes, Father. That all the words will fall on good soil this morning, and that they will take root, Father, and that we will grow in you over this month, Lord, that we will be closer to you and more mature in you at the end of the month than what we are now, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, good to see you all. And, I'm excited about this month, talking about the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God has been a blessing to me ever since I first became a Christian. I opened my Bible on the first morning after my commitment and read that word in Jeremiah chapter 1 that said, before you were born, I knew you. I knew you in the womb. I formed you. And so on and so forth. And I called you as a prophet to the nations. And I've been to about 16 countries now and ministered. And some of them a number of times. I reckon that France was probably over 30 times, probably, maybe. But the Word of God jumped out of me. The Word of God has been important to me. And so it's exciting, this month for us to just get a hold of how important it is. I wasn't going to do this, but I felt that the Lord wants me to read. I spoke some time ago as regards Mark chapter 4, as regards the sower going out to sow. And he was sowing the Word of God. And let's just quickly read it here, because for us to understand the Word of God and the importance of it, I believe that we have to understand the responsibility that we have, the part that we play in this, okay? So here we are. He's given a parable, and the disciples didn't understand it. And so in verse 13, then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable?" And the facts were they didn't. How then will you understand any parable? I personally believe that what Jesus is saying here is that if you don't understand the importance of getting a hold of the Word of God, doing something with it, taking it, making it your own, then you're not going to do the same with any of the other parables. To understand them, taking them to God, researching, looking at it. What are you saying, Lord? Handling the Word of God appropriately. So here we go. So he starts to enlighten them and open it up to them. He said, the farmer sows the word. We're sowing the word this morning. Is that right? We're sowing the Word of God. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. How many of you have received a teaching in a church somewhere? Wonderful, we go home, we've had a great time and what have you. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word, make it unfruitful. When the Word of God is sown, it's meant to be fruitful in our lives. It's meant to bear fruit. When a farmer goes out and actually scatters that seed, imagine if when he's finished his day's labour and he sits down and you say, that crop ain't going to grow. There was nothing in that seed. You know, that's worth anything. It ain't good seed and it ain't going to grow. Why do you think it, you know, what would his response be? I've done all that work, you know, prepared the ground and everything, and what have you, but it ain't going to bear any fruit. So, here we go. Choke the word, and it is unfruitful. Verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. So, in other words, the word of God is meant to produce something within our lives. But the people in the fourth category accepted it. They weren't going to let it go. They took it. They made it their own. And it produced a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Amen? So the reason I read that is I ain't going to go over a whole talk. I mean, that I did from that some time ago. But that really, for this morning, could be like part one, and this morning could be part two. Because unless we understand the responsibility that we have with the Word of God, of how we handle it, then it's not going to be fruitful. I mean, many a time we assess a speaker, somebody comes to speak, oh, that was a good talk this morning, or whatever, and we miss the part as regards the fact that this is the Word of God, and it's life to me, and I'm going to take hold of it and make it mine. I'm going to run with this. It's going to have some effect on my life, and I'm going to do that. Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing. And the accurate translation, and some of you in your Bibles have got a bad translation that says hearing the Word of God. The accurate translation is hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. So, if you believe that that Word of God that you heard this morning, whether it be was in your own quiet time with Him, in the closet this morning, or whether it be when you heard somebody preach, and that was good, and it was valuable, it was rich, and it was worth something, you can actually decide to hear it again and again. And feed yourself inside. Faith cometh by, some people say, well, I ain't got faith. Well, sometimes you can actually seek God and you can say to Him, which words are relevant to my situation? I'm going to dig in the Word and I'm going to actually feed myself and nourish myself with those words. Well, you know, like for instance, the words that came this morning, two of them as regards shame. Feeling shame. You can actually take the relevant words of God and actually plant them inside you that actually becomes more real to you than the words and the sensation inside you, if you like, of shame. So in other words, you've heard it that many times by reading it, by playing the teaching back to yourself, whatever, that it takes dominance, if you like, or preeminence actually, in your heart. That before you know where you are, that becomes real to you more than the feelings of shame. And the sense of shame. Those four categories of people in Mark chapter 4, there was only one of them, the fourth group, that really drew any benefit from it. Weren't they? It never really benefited the other three categories of people. Some of them got excited on the day. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. They'd lost it by the time they got to the door, maybe. Same with us in our quiet time. I mean, I've been guilty of this. You get up on a morning. I remember once, I mean, for me, you know, and for many, some of you in here or many of you, you know, getting the word of the Lord is important because of the fact that there's people turning up on Sunday with some expectancy that you're going to have the word of the Lord. So therefore, I mean, you've got to seek God. You've got to go get that word. But, you know, I remember a few years ago, God gave me a revelation one morning, okay? And I didn't even bother to get my pen and paper out. Oh, yeah, that's good. And I'm there, you know, thinking, wow, thank you, Lord. I never realized that before. Now, the week later, all of a sudden, I think to myself, what is it he said to me last week? It was so good, it actually shook me. And here I am, I can't remember. You know, the Bible tells us, I mean, and we'll get to that maybe shortly, but as regards the fact that the Word of God is life to us, life. So how much importance do we actually give to it? How real is it to us? How much time do we invest in it? I mean, you do. I think I have said this here. I've said it somewhere recently. But for quite a number of years now, and the reason I don't say it at the front is because it can sound a bit like bragging. It can sound a bit like pride. But it's relevant to what we're talking about this morning. And I'm usually up very, very early on a morning, and I don't allow any food to go in my mouth until I've taken the Word of God. That's how important it is to me. I decided that a number of years ago, that I was going to feed my inner man with the Word of God before I take food for my natural body. It doesn't matter whether it's Christmas Day or whatever. That's what I do. That's how I live. Same when we're on holiday. I choose to make sure that is taking a priority in my life. You know, because I'd learnt that soon as the pressures of the day and the activities and the things that are thrown at us, with, you know, we can have all the goodwill and all the intents. I mean, you know, of sometime later today, I'll be able to fit it in. You know, I can find time later today. It's an easier day than normal, maybe, or whatever. Doesn't happen. So many distractions, phone rings, email, whatever. Somebody rings, can you do this, can you do what have you? And before you know, oh, yeah, it didn't happen. So therefore, for me personally, might not be for you. God might tell you something different. It might be appropriate, particularly with people that are on shift work, I mean, the work nights and what have you. You know, your system is completely different. So for you, you know, you've got to get what's right for you. And it might be that you've got to start work at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, years ago, I had to start work about 5 o'clock in the morning, but I still got up and I had my time with God. Because of the fact that I knew what I were like. I knew that, you know, I wouldn't do it unless I actually push myself to do it and force myself to to go feed myself on this word, nourishing myself, you know, with the enrichment of the word of God. It tells us in the fourth group of people there that it produced a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. You know, to save time this morning, we won't go to it. I mean, we're talking 5 to 12 now, and I've hardly got into this. You know, we were born again of an incorruptible seed of the Word of God, it tells us. In 1 Peter 2:23, I think it is. And I've been meditating on that recently. I've been thinking about it. You know, there's so many things in our lives that we come across and things like that that are corruptible. We hear about corruption in this company, corruption in this organization, corruption in, you know, even our fruit. You know, we buy some fruit and we put it there and you go to get the fruit later. Well, it's gone off as this. You know, and it's the same thing. It's become corrupted, if you like. But the seed of the Word of God in our lives is incorruptible. God can give you a prophetic word. It can be one that jumps out of this scripture, like that word as regards for me, as regards I've called you as a prophet to the nations. And 10 years later, or whatever it was, I haven't been to any country to preach. But finally, one day, it comes alive and it happens. You know, so for some people, it can be where they've gone off to do other things. Well, you know, forgotten about God and, you know, pursued this interest, pursued that interest. That word of God is still alive. You might be sat on some words that you were going to do this, you were going to go this place, you were going to do that. Do you know, if you rekindle that in your heart, meditate on it, say, yeah, my loving Heavenly Father spoke that to me, and that word is inside me, and it's not corruptible. It's incorruptible. That's why when you got born again of an incorruptible seed, you're going to go to heaven no matter what knocks you take, no matter what happens, you're going to heaven. You're heaven bound. Amen? Because that seed in you is not corruptible. There's life in it always. There might be somebody in here that slipped away from God and you're doing other things that you know that God doesn't like. You come back to Christ and you find that that seed that was sown in you some time ago is still alive. It's still relevant. It's still something that you can take hold of. And it's still time for that seed to bear fruit. Imagine if I'd got that word of the Lord when I first got born again, that you're going to be a prophet to the nations, okay? You're going to go to the nations and preach, okay? Imagine if I'd have gone back to my, you know, old way of life, living, you know, in sin, and gone back to Yorkshire and, you know, just mixed with all those people I used to mix with and get... Pardon? Sin is in Yorkshire. It could sound like that, can't it? But yeah, I could have gone back to there and what have you, and I come back to Christ today, and I could have taken up that word of God because that word was for me, and it was life, and it's still there. Some of you might think that you've let things slip in your life. You know, and we've had a number of words from the Lord from the new year. I don't know how many there were quite a few. That people in this church, some of the older ones I believe it is, you know, are carrying hope deferred. Very disappointed. you know, that God ain't come through for you or something like that. But God wants to do something with those words that he's given you. And it's not too late to go back and visit them and take them. Take hold of them. Amen? Do you know, whilst we're on that subject of a word from the Lord, you know, some of us, the reason we get up deferred is because we become impatient. Do you know, it's interesting that we run Southwest Leaders. Zach Gariba, who came a year last October, the prophet from, originally Nigeria, but he now lives in Canada. And he prophesied over me 12 years ago. 12 years ago. We'd got him coming to our church here, and I thought, I'm going to go down to Exeter before he gets here, and I'm going to have a look at him and see what he's like. And so I sneak in there just as they're about to start. Place is full. There's hardly any seats left. And I sneak in and, oh, I see there's one on the front row. So they start the meeting and he comes over straight away. He prophesies over me that he says, you're a leader of leaders and one day you'll run Southwest Leaders. And then 2 years ago, Partners in Harvest say to me, we'd like you to run a Southwest Leaders Hub here at the church. That was 10 years after he gave the word. Now 12 years. You see? God hadn't forgotten it. That seed is still in there. That word is still there. And some of you need to take hold of some of the words, I mean, in which God has given you in the past. Amen? So, we've hardly got time now left, but if you turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Do you know, this Word, some of you might say, well, you know, it came about, you know, such and such a time, each part of it came in a different part of history and things like that. No, this tells us that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. Right at the very beginning, this Word was there. And I personally believe that the Word will still be there when we've been in heaven thousands of years. And you and I will still be learning about this Word of God. It will never become irrelevant. It'll always be important to you. It talks about gifts of the Spirit that won't be needed when you go to heaven and things like that, but this Word will be. The Word of God will always be relevant to you and me. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is His Word. I heard a preacher come into Taunton in the mid-80s. He followed the Good News Crusade when they'd been to Taunton. And he's actually said, and it stuck in my mind, he said, the more you take in of this Word of God, the more you take in of Jesus. The more you take in of God Himself. He was with God in the beginning. If you drop down to verse 12. Sorry. Here we go, verse 14. The Word in verse 14 became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. So the more you take in of the Word, the more you take in of Him. Is that right? That's right. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Now this is actually one of my favorite scriptures. And I read this actually most mornings. Most mornings, this is a scripture that I actually look at. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. God is actually saying to me, pay attention to what I say. I've got a responsibility, he's saying. Come on. I can speak, but you have the responsibility as regards what you do with it. Listen closely to my words. Now, if you're reading the Bible, and that's where your word is coming from that morning, okay? It could be from a talk. It could be from hearing him directly. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and that's a promise. Many of us don't take it as a promise. And that is a promise of God. You as a child of the living God, according to him, he says you will hear his voice. If that doesn't stir our confidence when we come before him, that we can hear him, the potential is in there for you to hear him because he's come to live within you. How can somebody get so close to you without you hearing them? He's promised you that you can hear him. Amen? So listen closely to my words. So what I do is, words like this that I feed on the morning, I put my eyes on them and I speak them out, and so then my ears can hear them. How can I listen to it unless I'm actually going to bring it alive with my own voice? So I listen. And it comes back to the Romans 10:17 word, doesn't it? That faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Am I going to hear it? Am I going to hear it? Unless I speak it out. Or I play a tape. Or I go back to, nowadays, the website and listen to Chris preaching or something like that. Amen? Building yourself up on it. Whoa. Do not let them out of your sight. Do not let them out of your sight. You know, sometimes we can just actually play it. Okay, listening and what have you. But there's something important about getting your Bible out, whether it's on your tablet, whether it's in the book like it is here, or whether it's on your phone. There's something important about putting your eyes on it and feeding these senses that we've got. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. It is actually instructing us in this, in these few verses, as regards what we do with it, what we do with the Word of God. You know, if you bought a packet of seed, okay, and you looked at the back of the seed and it said, okay, it says that if you sow this in sunlight, it will grow. If you put it in the shade, it won't grow. And so, no point in you getting angry with that seed and shouting at it if you've put it in the shade and it ain't grown. Is that right? So the instructions on the manual here says, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Life. As we actually take that and make it a part of ourselves, if you like, it brings life to us. There's life in it. this great, this incredible, incorruptible seed is bringing life to us as we hold it in there. I've heard so many people, there's a number of people speaking these days, Bill Johnson being one of them, and that, talking about the battle for the heart. You know, what we do in these times is going to be determined not by the battle out on the street. It's going to be the battle that takes place prior to that, like in the prayer rooms before you go out, or for our time with Him as regards hearing and hearing the Word of God and building ourselves up and encouraging ourselves that we can actually believe that we can accomplish that which He's sending us to do. Is that right? Wow. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who are find them, and health to a man's whole body. And I need to qualify this to you right now, that where it says man, it means mankind. So you ladies can get in there as well. Amen? That's what it means. So you ladies can have health to your whole body. Amazing, isn't it? That in the Word of God, there is health to be found in there. Health for our whole body is found in there. You know, I think, I mean, I got 3 pages here and we've hardly touched it. And I mean, oh, this is what is important to say. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. So important that you get this, because it underlines what I said earlier. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Put your eyes on it. Actually, let's read verse 10 as well. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth. He's giving you an idea of how the Word of God works here. Okay? So stay with it. And without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. You know, there was a time when the words in this Bible went out from God's mouth. He said. He said it through His prophets. He said it through people that He raised up. But will accomplish, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Word of God. You know, in Micah, prophet Micah talked about Jesus coming in Bethlehem. 715 years before He came. And He was right on time. So all down through those 715 years, some people had gone away from God, they'd had a time away from God, and then they'd come back and they'd done this, and they get married and they have children, and there's a war and what have you, not just in the house, there was one in the country. But, you know, all those things happened and what have you, and Mary and Joseph turned up at the right time to be told that there's no room at the inn. If they'd arrived the day before, there might have been a room at the inn. If they'd arrived the day after, the manger might even have been taken and occupied by another baby. But Micah's prophecy was right on time. His word did not return unto him void. His word is incorruptible. His word is life to you and me. Amen? Let's go home today with a fresh understanding of the value of this word and how much we value what he speaks to us. You know, I've not always done it. I've been not all that diligent in it, actually keeping the prophetic words that have been spoken over us over the years. And God's saying to some of you this morning, some of us, dig out those words. If he's spoken them, there's still life in them for you. And that seed is still there, and you can be what he said that you would be. And you can do what he said that you would do. Take hold of his word, believe him, and encourage your heart with it. And as you meditate on those prophetic words as well, they will encourage your heart and give you more confidence when you're praying over the things relating to that. Is that right? Yeah. Let's just stand, shall we? You look like you're ready for your coffee now. Yeah, bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this precious word. People have died. People have lost their lives in service to you, Lord, to get this word to us. And Lord, we do thank you for it, Lord. They've become martyrs to get that word to us. And Lord, we freshly commit ourselves right now. Lord, just do it in your own heart if you feel that God's prodded you right now. Just do it in your own heart. Say, yes, I commit myself afresh to honoring your word and actually making sure that I'm like Samuel. And when it comes to me, I don't let it fall to the ground.